I love the liquidness of glass. When you heat it, it becomes this primordial soup of potential.
There's nobody that's come close to making the exquisite models that the Blaschkes did.
Certainly during my time here at Christie's, I've never handled one. I haven't seen any elsewhere offered for public auction.
Father and son team, Leopold and Rudolf Blaschke, created a beautiful solution to the problem of displaying ocean animals like octopus, jellyfish and plankton. Their spineless bodies just collapsed in jars of alcohol, so the Blaschkes recreated them in glass. I met collections manager Miranda Lowe at the Natural History Museum to see some of them in storage.
I love them because of what they look like, and it's remarkable that such complex sea creatures can be made out of glass. For instance, jellyfish, the Blaschkes managed to show the tentacles, the colours there, the intricacies of those tentacles, the different shapes, the different elements. And in the moon jellyfish, the Blaschke model, you can actually see through the top of the bell of that jellyfish and see the four rings, which are the sexual organs.
And what about this box over here?
This is a Regularian, magnified about 1,000 times. What you can see here is a glass ball, which internally has some green kind of pigments in, and then extending from this central glass ball, there are all these spines.
They look incredibly fragile. It's like a green ping pong ball that's had lots of cocktail sticks stuck into it.
They're very tiny to see. They live in the zooplankton in the ocean, and you need a really high-powered microscope to see those in the lab. So that was the beauty of having the Blaschke models.
It was the age of discovery. People were just starting to discover the world's oceans, the scientists, and they were bringing that to light to other people, members of the public, and this was something new for them.
Beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me.
The delicate Blaschke models are not just for science, but they're objects of great beauty and desire, something James Hislop, head of natural history at the auction house Christie's, knows well.
They are beautiful objects in their own right. They're intriguing, they're made of a very precious material. And the craftsmanship is something that everyone can recognise as being of the highest quality. I think the fact that they are so rare as well, that makes that sort of unobtainability something that, you know, turns collectors on. I've got people who have phoned me up and said, James, I want a Blaschke glass model. I've just seen this one on display here. Have you got something comparable?
Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sail.
Jellyfish would be the ultimate one because you can see the internal organs, and scientifically it's just such an ingenious way of showing these animals to students. I just find it incomprehensible how they managed to produce some of those works.
First of all, I've got to turn on my oxygen and propane and get my torch ready to work.
Rowan Vanderholt has her glass workshop just outside Bristol, where she uses the same traditional techniques as the Blaschkes to make plants and animals, melting the glass over a single flame as opposed to in a furnace.
So 6-inch jet fuel flame. Yeah, like, just like a rocket.
And which is the appeal. If you were asking what the appeal of working on a torch is, it's the fire. It's very addictive. Well, I sort of think in my head, okay, what am I going to make today? And usually, for example, if I'm doing a bird, I might work on making just a whole lot of feathers first. I will take a tube of glass. Let's choose a colour, and you can have an idea of what sort of colours you might be wanting to work with. I hope you don't get burnt doing this. Sorry if you do.
I'm standing well back.
So just by slowly applying the heat, I can get the glass to start to get runny, and I can use the tools then to cut into the glass or shape the glass or compress the glass, manoeuvre the glass. the rod of glass has now been detailed with this feather, the level of detail that you can pick up on the torch, because you're working so close and intimately with the work, whereas taking a hot molten piece from the furnace and working on it, you don't have the proximity to the piece.
What do you feel when you see a Blaschka?
I'm in awe, totally in awe. I'm very inspired. It's a big part of what my direction is, and it's very much inspired by their work.
They worked alone as a father and son team. They didn't employ anybody else. And in a sense, there has not been a modern glass artist that I've come across that has actually made them as exquisite as the Blaschkas.
Leopold Blaschka was the father. He came from a long line of jewellery makers, glass makers in Bohemia at the time, now Czech Republic. It was after a tragic period in his life. His wife died, Karolina, and then a year later, his father died. And he then took himself off to the United States, and on the way stopped off, the ship stopped off in the Azores, and he spent a lot of time gazing into the surrounding waters, looking at the jellyfish and the other sea creatures. So that's where he got that inspiration from.
I think that they're coming at it with sort of skills and benefits in a sense because of a total immersion in that lifestyle that not many people in this day and age have, because you don't have that sort of family tradition of occupations. Yeah, you do feel very connected to each piece that you've made. I think you do put a bit of your soul into it.
Leopold's son, Rudolf, actually he married, but he never had any children, so their secrets died with them.
When you look at them, do you look at them as artworks?
A mixture of both, the science and the art side, because science is always evolving and changing, and therefore some of the original names that are attached to these models, scientific names, have been changed. So it's interesting to look at it from that point of view, with science ever changing. And then looking at them from an artistic point of view, I love showing these pieces to individual artists, because it gives me another way of thinking and looking at these objects. I'd like anybody looking at the Blaschka models to appreciate how remarkable natural history is, and the animals in the deep oceans. And also, these models are in honour of Leopold and Rudolf Blaschka and their techniques.
Once you've seen a Blaschka, you'll never forget it. They're so lifelike. It's as if you're watching the animal floating or swimming in its ocean home. Some people can't tell the difference, as James from Christie's explains.
Someone turned up with what they very triumphantly said was a Blaschka sea scene that they'd just bought at a local auction house for an absolute bargain, because no one else recognised what it was. It looked like a sea cucumber made out of glass, and the shells at the bottom, I was 90% certain that the shells were shell, not glass. And I saw one that was chipped in a corner. I was like, no, the shells aren't glass. And then it occurred to me that there are these obscure organisms called Venus flower baskets that live at a sort of depth of 100 metres. And this guy, bless him, he recognised some natural history object, had heard of the Blaschkas and thought he'd hit the jackpot. I'm sure they're smiling down on us with a great big grin at an actual animal being mistaken for their reproductions.
To see the Blaschka models and other precious icons that have increased our knowledge of the natural world, visit the Treasures Gallery at the Natural History Museum.